If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Seth Morris, Corey Calkins, Alyssa Smith, Hillary Byrne, Max Barta, Roman Schnobrick, Clay Newcomb, and Logan Dove. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, Phil, update the room here on why you look the way you look. And I don't mean that about like...
I can talk about that too.
Okay, sure.
Well, go ahead. The year was 1990. And I was supposed to take a vacation this week. I wasn't going anywhere, so it wasn't a big deal. Then Spencer asked if we could do trivia because this was the only week we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in vacation mode. You know,
so you look like it.
You know, I wear this for every vacation I take. Definitely didn't get it off the clearance rack at Target, but so that's why I'm here. Got a tiki mug. I'm ready to roll.
So hold on, you're on vacation, but you're just staying in town.
Yeah,
staycation.
Yeah, it's
staycation.
It's the it's kids first week at school. Got a lot of stuff to buy and pack and prepare. And
Point is, Phil is a company man. That's why he's here.
Yeah, that's right.
Good on you, Phil.
Round of applause.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Much deserved. I can't believe we haven't done that before.
That's a dedicated employee.
Seth's birthday.
And it's Seth's birthday. Seth, how old are you today?
32.
Big plans?
No.
Okay. Nothing at all?
No.
Maybe
I'm
going
to go out to dinner with my wife.
Oh, where are you going? Let me guess. The Sack.
No.
Okay.
No, I go there too much.
Land of Magic.
I think so, yes.
Ooh,
all right. There we go.
Yeah. Land of Magic.
Now, this isn't any regular old game of Meat Eater Trivia. This is episode 2 of the 2023 Meat Eater Trivia Tournament. There are 4 episodes total, and by the end of the last one, we'll have crowned a champion of Meat Eater Trivia for 2023. Now, this game will have spoilers, so if you haven't heard episode 1 yet, then pause this and go back and listen to the first show. All right, everyone's had a chance to do that. Everyone's heard episode 1. How does the room feel about playing with the stakes being so high?
I'm nervous all the time, so.
Okay.
It's good practice for hunting season.
Oh, there
you
go.
Bring on the pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, Clay should not feel any of the nerves. He actually can advance to the next round. It was just a coincidence. He's in the office today, but he won't be around next week when we record
the
championship.
For the love of the game, man. Love of the game.
That's a good way to put it.
Here's a question. Mm-hmm. If he wins... Does he still get to donate to the org of his choice?
We'll talk about that at the end. We're doing the donation a little bit differently in the tournament. There's another little wrinkle for us. So here's how this is going to work. Episode 1 was a qualifying round with 7 players, 2 of which got to move on to the championship. Those 2 players were Cal and Hansi. Episode 2 is also a qualifying round with 7 new players, 2 of which will also move on to the championship. Episodes 3 and 4 are the championship rounds. Those will feature Cal and Hanzi from Episode 1, as well as our reigning champion Brody Henderson, Steven Ranella, Giannis Poutelis, and Randall Williams. Brody, Steve, Giannis, and Randall have the most victories in 2023, so they're getting an automatic bye to the championship. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the performance of players in last year's tournament qualifying episodes in the 2 play-in shows from 2022. The minimum score needed to reach the championship round was a 5. Maggie Hudlow, Corey Calkins, and Seth Morris each got 5 correct answers in their games to move on to the final episode. Now, I'll tell you, in the last episode that we just recorded, we had 4 players go to a tiebreaker with 4 correct answers, so 4 or 5 is probably what you're going to need to make it to episodes 3 and 4.
Are we getting the same questions as those guys?
You are not getting the same questions.
Oh, yeah, I guess this is, it wouldn't be fun for the listeners.
Yeah.
If it was all the same.
No.
Questions. Never mind, that was a stupid question. Sorry, Spencer.
No, that's okay. It's a good question, and I'll address it in a second here, Seth. Here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous shows. This question was from a qualifying round last year. The topic was hunting, and nobody got it right. What biblical figure was the great-grandson of Noah and described as a mighty hunter before the Lord? Clay, I'm going to have you sit in silence for a second to see if the rest of our room can come up with the correct answer. As a reminder, this was from a qualifying round last year. Nobody got it right. If you know the answer, you can just shout it out. What biblical figure was the great-grandson of Noah and described as a mighty hunter before the Lord? Anybody know it? Any guesses?
I remember getting this wrong.
Clay,
was it lion?
Tell us the answer, Clay.
I'll give you a hint. His name rhymes with Ramrod.
Nimrod.
The correct answer was Nimrod. The incorrect answers were Solomon, Samson, John, Saint Hubert, Josiah, and for some reason, Max still thinks it's lion. You said lion in last year's episode, and now you said lion again.
Oh, that's so funny.
Lion is still not right.
Yeah, still got it wrong.
Now, we don't have any housekeeping for today's show, but here's one final note about the tournament before we move on. Listeners with a keen ear will notice that the questions from this week and last week resemble each other. Because they're both qualifying rounds, I designed the scripts to have similar themes and difficulties. So they're not the same questions, Seth, but they are similar.
But close.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 3, so our winner should get 6 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Round 2.
Oh, wow.
Question 1. The topic is public lands, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Which of these animals is not found in Idaho's Boise National Forest? Is it a pronghorn, kokanee salmon, gopher snake, or Roosevelt elk? If you don't know, you can see the question on the TV behind you, Corey, Clay, Roman. Again, the question is, which of these animals is not found in Idaho's Boise National Forest? Pronghorn, kokanee salmon, gopher snake, or Roosevelt elk. And we have Vacation Phil putting a nice little touch on the first question with the waiting room music.
This reminds me of SpongeBob.
I thought the same thing.
Exactly.
Is it?
When I heard it.
Is it?
You know, I,
for copyright reasons, no, it's not. But no, it actually isn't. No. Royalty-free SpongeBob adjacent music.
Uh-huh. Which of these animals is not found in Idaho's Boise National Forest? Pronghorn, kokanee salmon, gopher snake, Roosevelt elk. Who has been to the Boise National Forest? Nobody. Okay. Does everybody have an answer? Which of those is not found there?
I've got an illustration too.
Okay, that'll be helpful. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Roosevelt elk, Logan saying Roosevelt, Max saying Roosevelt, Hillary saying kokanee salmon, Alyssa saying gopher snake, Roman saying pronghorn, Clay saying Roosevelt elk, and in the little time he had, he drew a beautiful Roosevelt elk. Cordy saying Roosevelt elk. The correct answer is Roosevelt elk.
Yes.
The room did very well. The closest Roosevelt elk to the Boise National Forest are about 300 miles to the west in Oregon. There are pronghorn in the southern part of the forest, Kokanee salmon that are native to the northern part of the forest, and gopher snakes are found throughout the forest. The Boise National Forest is the sixth biggest national forest in the country. Question two. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Steve Corson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Name one of the 10 most popular female dog names in 2022, according to the American Kennel Club.
I wish you would have said male dogs, because I think Max is like top three.
So let me tell you this, Max. Last episode, the question is name one of the top 10 male dog names.
Nice.
Max was number one.
Nice.
Damn.
This time, though, I need you to tell me one of the 10 most popular female dog names in 2022, according to the American Kennel Club. Clay, how many dogs do you own?
Currently, just three.
Oh, just three. Only three.
Man, it's a sad story, but my best coon dog died back in December.
Oh.
And then
which one was that?
Fern.
Oh, man.
Yep. And so I've only got three.
What's the biggest that the Newcomb Kennel has ever gotten?
I think I've had six at one time.
Okay.
And that's just common. Uh-huh. It's like not even bat an eye. Six hunting dogs in Arkansas.
And when you're naming a dog, do you think that you are using some of the popular names, or are you always going off the board? Would any Clay
off
Newcomb dogs ever show up in the top 10? Have you ever had a Max?
No. Okay. I don't think so. I don't think we'd have any.
Okay.
We like to name dogs human names.
Okay.
Yeah, like Tim.
Tim's my favorite dog ever.
Yeah.
Besides my own dog.
Does
everybody have an answer for one of the 10 most popular female dog names? How many dog owners do we have in this room? Everybody except Logan and Roman. Okay. Oh.
Do you have a dog, Spencer?
I do not. I'm an aspiring dog owner. Do not have
a
dog.
He's a big cat guy.
Big, huge cat guy. Almost a big cat guy as Seth. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Greta. Logan saying Atlas, Max saying Bella, Hillary saying Sadie, Alyssa saying Lucy, Roman saying Rosie, Clay saying Sadie, and he drew a Sadie. Well done, Clay.
Again.
Corey saying Dolly. The 10 most popular female dog names are Luna, Bella, Daisy, Lucy, Willow, Penny, Sadie,
yes.
Maggie, Rosie and Ruby.
Ruby.
The room did pretty well.
Ruby down.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Max's name is Max, which is the most popular male dog name, and his dog's name is Ruby, which is 10th on the list.
Really quick, Spencer, that was a lot of names for me to sort through while you were reading those off. I know Max got it. Can everyone else who got that right, can you raise your hand, please?
Most of us got it right.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Pretty good.
Well,
Hillary,
done.
Alyssa,
room.
What'd you
Roman,
get?
Clay.
Dolly, which is what?
Just missing the top 10 were Nova, Stella, Lily, Nala, Piper, Bailey, and Coco. And just like with last week, some of these were also among the top names for human girls. Luna is ranked highest at 10. That's followed by Willow at 37, Lucy at 48, Ruby at 62, Sadie at 68, Bella at 85, and Daisy at 125.
Hey, could I just give some short advice on dog naming?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest mistake the Newcombs ever made was we wanted to name a dog Scout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a killer dog name.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second now. And last week, you had to name one of the most popular male dog names. Cal said Scout. That was not right.
Well, exactly. See, we're not following the trends, but that's like an El Primo dog name. We got this plot. And my family wanted to name it Scout, and I was like, "Man, it's risky. I don't know if this dog's gonna make it. You know, if it was gonna make a good hunting dog, because I wouldn't keep it if it wasn't."
Yeah.
And it didn't make it. We named the dog Scout, and now the dog wasn't that great. Name's ruined forever. So,
okay,
if you have a really great name, wait to name the dog.
Yep.
It's tough. It takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah. And Cal's advice for naming a dog was make sure you're comfortable yelling that name in a crowded park.
Snort? That's good.
Yeah. Snort? Snort. So comfortable yelling it in public and something that you don't want to ruin for eternity. Question three. The topic is conservation. Which of the seven natural wonders of the world is home to native fish like the humpback chub, razorback sucker, and bluehead sucker? And the topic is conservation. Which of the seven natural wonders of the world is home to native fish like the humpback chub, razorback sucker, and bluehead sucker? With a confident answer. Mm. What do you
got,
Max?
Know if I can name one of the seven wonders of the world.
That's a good place to start. Think about what they are. Corey, do you have this one right? You have some confidence, it appears.
I thought I had it, and now my
you gotta think
brain
about
is
the seven.
Rethinking.
Okay. Seth, do you have this one right?
I'm torn between two.
Okay.
Didn't Biden just say there was nine?
Of the natural wonders? Maybe.
I think he did. That. It was funny. One of his mess ups.
One of the seven natural wonders. It's home to native fish like the humpback chub, razorback sucker, and bluehead sucker. Logan, you also were quick to answer. Do you have this one right, you think?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
As a reminder, a lot on the line. Two of you will get to move on to the championship.
Totally guessing, but I've got a drawing to go
is
with
that one?
It.
Okay.
I'm all
is everybody ready?
I don't know. No
sharing. I'm getting thrown. Yeah. Man. Torn.
Is everybody ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Niagara Falls. Logan saying Galapagos Islands. Max saying Nile River. Hillary saying Great Barrier Reef. Alyssa saying Niagara Falls. Roman, without an answer. That's Clay saying Nile River. Corey saying Grand Canyon. We have a correct answer in the room. It's the Grand Canyon.
Damn it. Oh, I almost put it.
Corey got it right.
Good job, Corey. Nice job.
The Grand Canyon portion of the Colorado River is known for large floods, freezing winter temps, hot summer temps, and lots of sediment. As a result, this unique ecosystem only has 8 native fish, 3 of which have been extirpated. Mm. One of the biggest challenges the Grand Canyon native species face are invasive fish like trout, bass, and catfish.
Can you tell us what the wonders of the world are?
I can't tell you them all. Alyssa said Great Barrier Reef, which was actually the answer to last week's.
Hillary
I'm sorry.
Said
Hillary said Great Barrier Reef. That was the answer to last week's version of this question. I don't know what the other ones are. I think I don't think Niagara Falls is one.
Is Nile River?
I don't think the Nile River. Oh, the big Victoria Falls, that's one of them. I don't know. I can't. I don't recall. Question four. The topic is biology. What does the USGS stand for, as in the federal agency? What does the USGS stand for, as in the federal agency? A confident room. All writing very quickly. I'm going to look up the seven natural wonders of the world. We have Mount Everest, Harbor of Rio de Janeiro, Great Barrier Reef, Victoria Falls, Paracatino Volcano, Grand Canyon, and Aurora Borealis. There are your seven natural wonders of the world. But we are on question four. What does the USGS stand for? Clay, did you draw us something for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Looking
sure
forward to it. This is a nice little treat.
In case
Clay
I spelled
it
wrong.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
Just a second.
Max?
Max, show everyone.
Pipe down, birthday boy.
Waiting on Max and Alyssa. What does the USGS stand for? Clay, can you tell us what you're doing here in town?
Actually, I'm not sure that I can.
I feel secret like project. Everything is always spoiled. Okay, it's a secret project. That's what we'll say then.
Phil said maybe.
Phil gave this answer in the background, which I trust Phil's gut, which is to say
it's a future audio project.
Okay.
Yeah, very it's good. Really exciting. Very can good. Y'all, everybody just be excited? I'm like, wow, stoked. That's great, Clay.
That's great, Clay.
Yeah, what is this?
Are we going to be hearing your voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's something you're excited about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Maximus, what are we doing over here? A lot of erasing. Hillary is rolling her eyes at you. She's over whatever you're doing.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
A lot of pressure.
It's a timer situation. Yeah, let's cut the timer.
Yep. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
More erasing?
No, I'm good.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying United States Geological Survey. Logan saying United States Geological Service. Max saying United States
Geographic
Studies. Hillary saying United States Geologic Survey. Alyssa saying United States Geological Services. Roman saying United States Geological Survey. Clay saying United States Geologic Survey. Corey saying United States Geological Service. The correct answer is United States Geological Survey. I don't think we're going to give it to you if you only said geologic.
Ooh, this is
this is a proper noun.
Ooh,
which
I drew a picture.
Come on,
you did. He drew the planet, which is very geographical. Good.
I was about to add.
I think it's got to be geological.
Geological. I wrote geologic.
Can we help out Phil if you got that right? United States Geological Survey. Raise your hand.
I think because I marked everyone who said survey, and then I also marked Hillary and Clay. But if they don't get it, then I'll remove their votes.
Clearly, the
answer needs the pivot point was on the survey.
Geological.
I don't think we're going to give it to you. We're going to stick with geological. The USGS is the nation's largest water, earth, and biological science and civilian mapping agency. They were founded in 1879 with the goal of studying our landscape, our natural resources, and our natural hazards. They are a fact-finding organization with no regulatory responsibility. Question 5. The topic is gear. The Realtree corporate headquarters are located in this state. Confident Seth, Corey, and Clay. Again, the question is the Realtree corporate headquarters are located in this state. You know this one, Seth.
I have a pretty good idea.
You know this one, Clay?
Yeah.
Have you been there, Clay?
Not to their headquarters. No, I've been to the state.
Okay, that's a hint. If anyone knows Clay's whereabouts, the Realtree corporate headquarters are located in this state. This is question 5. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The Realtree corporate headquarters are located in this state. What did you draw for us on this one, Clay? Did you draw a shape of the state?
More.
Okay.
More.
More. I like it. I'm very excited.
Did you draw a real tree?
Draw like Hardwoods HD or something?
Mm-hmm. Is everybody ready? Clay even has a brown marker just for drawing whatever he can come up with. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Georgia. Logan saying Wisconsin. Max saying Georgia. Hillary saying Missouri. Alyssa saying Texas. Roman saying Tennessee. Clay saying Georgia. He drew Georgia plus a peach. Well done. Corey saying Mississippi. The correct answer is Georgia. Ooh, the room did pretty well.
Clay, can you do me a favor? Will you turn your board when you draw a picture? Because we can't see it over here.
Oh.
Yeah, show everyone. It's a good little treat. The Realtree Bill Jordan started Realtree in 1986 when he sketched his first camel pattern in his parents' front yard. The brand took off when Jordan got a booth at SHOT Show, which helped him open his first facility in a rented church in Columbus, Georgia.
And you know, the folks down in Georgia call him Bill Jordan.
Okay.
Yep, it's true.
Do they call him that Bill in Arkansas Jordan. Or not?
You know, I would tend to say Jordan because, you know, Michael
you're
Jordan.
A Yankee.
But now that would
But
be
you're also Mr. Acorn over here, so we got to respect the region. Yeah.
Jordan.
Right there.
Bill Jordan.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, everyone's on the board this time. We've got Logan, Hillary, and Alyssa with 1 point apiece. Roman and Corey have 2. And all tied up in first place with 3 points are Seth, Max, and Clay.
Ooh, very fun.
Ooh.
Just because it's your birthday, I'm not going to lead if I wasn't
robbed.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down, so you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, you know when you take some time to clean out, clean out your garage, and you're like, man, how was I living like that with that place such a mess? Well, check this out. If you've been paying a fortune for wireless and then you switch over to Mint Mobile and get plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you'll be saying, how was I ever affording to do that way I did it before? It's time to switch, okay, to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and get your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater, and you will cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Again, mintmobile.com/meateater. It's a $45 upfront payment required, which is the equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to LiquidIV.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at LiquidIV.com.
Question 6. The topic is cooking. An Oklahoma-style burger patty is smothered with this vegetable. The room is stumped. An Oklahoma-style burger patty is smothered with this vegetable. Clay, you are the closest thing we have to an Oklahoman, and you have no idea.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
An Oklahoma-style burger patty is smothered with this vegetable.
Hmm.
Is Logan, I think you were the quickest to have an answer. Yeah. Is this just a guess? Do you know it?
No, I'm kind of just guessing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think of other burger and a vegetable. Where did you find this? Wikipedia?
Everywhere. You call up an Oklahoman you know after this, and you ask him. Or her. Or you ask her.
I'm pretty close to an Oklahoman.
I know.
Hold on, we'll change.
An Oklahoma-style burger patty is smothered with this vegetable. Is everybody ready?
No.
I don't think I spelled it right.
Corey is feeling the pressure over here. I'm due to borrow a fly rod from him, which may not happen. He may have conveniently forgotten it if he does not advance in this game. Is everybody ready?
No.
Looking for the vegetable.
I don't even have a creative answer.
Okay.
No pictures then.
But you have an answer.
I mean, I wrote an answer.
And does it lack a picture this time?
Nope. I'm uninspired by this question.
As harsh as clay could be, I think. Max, are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying artichoke.
Ooh.
Logan saying onions. Max saying green chili. Hillary saying poblano pepper.
Sounds good.
Alyssa saying onion. Roman saying jalapeno. Clay saying onions. Corey saying onions. We have a correct answer. It's onion. The room did pretty well.
Damn it, I had onion.
Despite them lacking confidence. The recipe was created during the Great Depression as a way to make more burgers with less beef. Oklahoma onion burgers start as a ball of meat that's generously seasoned with salt and pepper and then topped with a fistful of onions before getting smashed into a hot griddle. You can learn how to cook one by checking out Justin Townsend's recipe on TheMeatEater.com called Venison Oklahoma Burgers.
Corey,
your cell phones put away. Put the cell phones away, please.
We're getting a lot of feedback in our ears.
Make sure mine's turned off.
Or airplane mode.
Now, does that seem familiar to anybody in Oklahoma? Onion burger. It's a smash burger that is smothered with onions.
Is it kind of the same as a patty melt?
It would be very similar. Go to themeateater.com. You'll get Justin Townsend's recipe. They look delicious. Question 7. The topic is hunting. Mike Hunsucker and Sean Luchtel started this archery hunting show in 2007. Mike Hunsucker and Sean Luchtel started this archery hunting show in 2007. We have a confident Seth, a confident Clay, who is also drawing us a nice picture. Logan, do you know this one?
Another guess.
Okay. Max, do you know this
no,
one?
No, I do not.
Mike Hunsucker and Sean Luchtel.
Shout out to Mike. He's a good dude. I like that guy.
Mike is going to be getting one of our prototypes of the Meat Eater trivia game so he can give me some feedback.
Nice.
On what he thinks. Mike Hunsucker and Sean Luchtel started this archery hunting show in 2007. Have you watched their show, Clay? Are you familiar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about you, Seth?
Big fan.
Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Max asked what it's called.
Channel. What's it on?
Clay and
it's probably,
Seth.
It's probably one of the longest running hunting shows out there.
Can can I say something now rather than later while these people have some time? Not, it wouldn't give anything away.
Then go ahead.
Their show was one of the first hunting shows that introduced really high quality cinematic film.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So when they were doing it, and there were some other people involved back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it was like groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah. Their show, and I felt like Meat Eater had a similar sensibilities. It looked like it was produced by professionals rather than produced by hunters or anglers, which is what a lot of outdoor content tends to look like. Is everybody ready?
Great hints.
Wait a minute. That was like a backhand. These guys are hunters and anglers.
They are hunters and anglers.
It looked like it got made by mm-hmm. hunters and anglers.
Mm-hmm. But they also, their content looks like they are professionals in that industry.
Yeah, cinema professionals.
Like they could work, they could make commercials for TV.
Yes.
They could do anything. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Heartland Bow Hunter. Logan saying Hunting Public. Max saying full draw. Hillary saying bow and arrow. Alyssa without an answer. Roman saying total archery. Clay saying Heartland bow hunter. He drew a person at full draw. Great drawing. Oh, wow. Corey saying Heartland. The correct answer is Heartland bow hunter. Because I was a stickler on the USGS, I don't think we're going to give it to you, Corey. I don't think Heartland is good enough.
Oh, I called BS.
Clay, what do you
that.
Think? Clay, you.
I mean, you, I mean what this else is. Would it be? This guy right here, I'll go to bat for him any day. Give him the point.
You heard him. Point.
I'm actually, in competition with him, no. And I would
you
say
want that fly rod or not.
Max, you want to give him the point?
I would accept that answer.
Max wants to give him the point.
Is there another show called Heartland?
And have they ever?
We should Google
Heartland without a boat.
Well, they have Heartland Waterfowl.
That's true.
Yeah,
but it would kind of be like saying, "What's the name of the company that Steve Nella runs?" And we'd say, "Meat."
Mm. Which would not be good.
Right, no.
Meat is a culinary brand.
Way different.
Corey, we're not going to give it to you. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not.
Is there a show
called enough.
Heartland?
Heartland Bowhunter was born after the group invented a camera tree arm that's specifically made for whitetail bow hunters. Since then, they've created 16 seasons of the show, along with a spinoff called Heartland Waterfowl. The Heartland Bowhunter team has also started making video content for Meat Eater, which you can watch on our YouTube channel in 2024. Question 8. The topic is fishing. This type of sinker with an alliterative name was created by a North Dakota walleye angler in 1964. The room is slow to come up with an answer. This type of sinker with an alliterative name was created by a North Dakota walleye angler in 1964.
Oh, boy.
Max, you're the closest thing we have to a North Dakotan.
I am the only North Dakotan.
And he doesn't know it.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I thought he was from somewhere else.
This type of sinker with an alliterative name was created by a North Dakota walleye angler in 1964. Clay, this would be one of your blind spots, potentially. Do you think you have this one right?
I don't.
Okay. But he's going to draw us something anyway. This is question 8. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. It's a sinker with an alliterative name. It was created by a North Dakota walleye angler in 1964. Seth, you have an answer. How do you feel about it?
Not good.
Mr. Walleye.
Yeah, I feel like you're our guy.
Yeah, I've probably used this thing 1,000 times, but I don't know.
Is everybody ready?
I just don't know.
Max, it looked like your homunculus helped you out there. Did you think you come up with the correct answer? Now?
I think so.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Seth saying split shot. Logan without an answer. Max saying bottom bouncer. Hillary without an answer. Alyssa saying dropper. Roman without an answer. Clay saying slip shot. Corey saying teardrop. Max got it. The correct answer is the bottom bounce.
God, I almost put that too.
I was going to put Lindy Rig, but then
good
I was
job,
like,
Max.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Bob Meter invented the bottom bouncer after finding that his other sinkers were getting snagged too much while trolling. First, he tried putting the weight at the bottom of the wire, but found that it was more effective if he moved it up. The design didn't really catch on until the 1980s when a pair of South Dakota walleye guides started winning national tournaments using the weights.
Is he from Devil's Lake?
I don't know where he was from.
I try to avoid bottom bouncing. I think it's the boringest thing you can do.
It's kind of an old man.
Yeah, it is. When I'm old and tired, yeah. I'll drink beer and bottom bounce.
That's right. Us young guns, we like to pitch jigs.
Yeah, that's right.
Phil, we have 2 questions left. I think it just got interesting. Give us a leaderboard update.
Yeah, we've got Hillary with 1 point, Roman, Logan, and Alyssa all have 2 points apiece. Corey has 3. Sorry, Corey. You got Seth and Max with 4, and Clay is in first place with 5 points.
Okay.
Good thing you can't move on.
As a reminder, Clay will not advance.
What if I came back next week?
If you come back, you'll play.
Can I use the $500 to pay for a plane ticket?
we'll start a 501-3 real quick.
GoFundMe to get Clay to
Clay's travel. Mm-hmm. Question 9, the topic is conservation. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Wyatt Flesher for sending this great question. Wyatt is going to get a book signed by Steve. 3 years after the Cuyahoga River went up in flames, this legislation was passed so that it would never happen again. Clay, if you didn't know, and Roman, the question is behind you on the TV. If that will help you at all. Here's the question again. 3 years after the Cuyahoga River went up in flames, this legislation was passed so that it would never happen again. Seth, do you think you have this one right?
I think I'm close.
Logan, you were the quickest to answer. Do you think you have this one right?
Yeah, I think so.
Does that look right?
Really? You know it, Logan?
Where's that river? Is that back east?
Not going to help you. Max and Logan, do you guys agree with each other's answers, or do you have something different?
I don't think there's any sharing of answers.
Okay.
I shared with him, but...
3 years after the Cuyahoga River went up in flames, this legislation was passed so that it would never happen again. Corey, are you now protesting the game after the Heartland answer?
No, I am a little upset, but I just don't have an answer to this one.
I crossed out my previous answer, which won't count.
Okay.
We can read it and erase it.
Yep, we'll acknowledge it.
Well, I mean, you don't have to acknowledge it. It just felt like a waste to erase it.
So much more modest than Steve. Steve is like, read my answer.
Is everybody ready? Corey, you going to come up with an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Clean Water Act, Logan saying Clean Water Act, Max saying Clean Waste Act, Hillary saying Clean Water Act, Alyssa without an answer, Roman without an answer, Clay saying the Clean Water Act. He crossed out the Cuyahoga Act and he drew a bunch of flames. Corey without an answer. The correct answer is the Clean Water Act. The room did pretty well.
I was one letter off.
The Clean Water Act, which is technically called the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, is the primary federal law that governs water pollution. The bill was originally vetoed by President Richard Nixon, who said it was too expensive. But the next day, the Senate and House both voted to override his veto, which got the bill to pass. Phil, we are on to question 10. Where does the leaderboard stand?
Well, for sure that Clay is not going to be coming back, and he won't be able to raise enough on the GoFundMe page. I won't read his score. He's got 6 points, though. He's in first place.
Still win.
Okay, he's got six points. We've got Roman, Hillary, and Alyssa all with 2 points, and then Logan and Corey have 3. Max has 4, and Seth has 5 points.
Ooh. Okay, so we have Seth moving on. We have Max, who has a one-point lead with who is he barely beating?
Corey and Logan have 3.
We would need Corey and Logan to get this right, Max to get it wrong, to go to a tiebreaker, but we already know that Seth is going to the championship episode. Question 10, the topic is woodsmanship. This toy, which was invented in 1916, inspired the name of a campfire building technique in which wood is stacked in a square pile around tinder. This toy, which was invented in 1916, inspired the name of a campfire building technique in which wood is stacked in a square pile around tinder.
You want the name of the toy, not the...
The name of the toy.
Okay. Hey, can I...
What do you got, Clay?
Well, I was going to go back to the Clean Water Act. Mm-hmm. Bear Grease, we just did a big 4-part series on the Mississippi River. I went into it not knowing a lot, really, about the river. I interviewed some of the top river hydrologists and fisheries biologists with the Corps of Engineers about the lower Mississippi, and was kind of shocked to find out the health of the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Really strong. The fishery of the body of the Mississippi River is incredibly robust. There are no... endangered species or no species have gone extinct out of the river.
Sure.
It was pretty encouraging.
If you had that conversation 50 years ago, though, it probably would have been significantly more bleak. I saw a stat that it was like before the Clean Water Act, only one third of our waterways were safe to even swim in, and now I think they're up to like 75% or something. Is everybody ready to name the children's toy? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Lincoln Log. Ooh. Logan saying Lincoln Log. Max saying logs building blocks. Hillary saying Lincoln Logs. Alyssa saying Jenga. Roman saying Lincoln Logs. Clay saying Lincoln Logs. Corey saying Lincoln Logs. The correct answer is Lincoln Logs, which means we are going to a tiebreaker between Max and Corey and Logan.
Whoa.
Wow. The Lincoln Log campfire is said to be the best style of campfire for cooking over. It's created by laying wood in alternating directions until you form a pile that resembles a log cabin. Lincoln Logs, which are in the National Toy Hall of Fame, were invented by the son of the famous architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. Play the drop, Phil. We are going to overtime.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I think just cut it at if you ain't first, you're last, and then like go into other stuff that's funny. I never liked it. Hey, Phil, f*** off, man.
Now to clear some things up, we have Clay, who has won the game, correct, outright. We have Seth, who would be moving on to the championship, and now we are finding out who the last competitor is between Max, Logan, and Corey to get the final spot. The tie-breaking topic is cooking. And this great question was sent by Caleb McLean. What percentage of Texas hunters said they always utilize feral hog meat by eating it or giving it away? This is a numerical question. I will have you write to one decimal point. The closest person to the correct answer will be declared the finalist for the championship episode, but everyone else should play along anyway, because if somebody hits it right on the nose, we will add an extra $100 donation to the end of the show. Here is the prompt again. What percentage of Texas hunters said they always utilize feral hog meat by eating it or giving it away? And this was a 2023 survey given to 400 hog hunters.
I think in honor of Bob Barker's death, that if you go over, it shouldn't count.
We never do the Price is Right rules, but maybe we'll close out the show with a different tagline instead of our usual one. 99.
Did anyone see the meme of about how he got so close to 100 without going over?
That's good. 99 and a half.
That is good. I didn't see that, but that's good.
Does everybody have an answer for the percentage of Texas hunters who said they always utilize feral hog meat by eating it or giving it away? Again, we're down to Corey, Max, and Logan. Everybody ready? Max? Oh, he's change of heart to one percentage point. A lot of writing. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying 18%, Hillary saying 93.3, Alyssa saying 72.1, Roman saying 65, Clay saying 30, our three finalists, Corey saying 34%, Max saying 88.8%, Logan saying 82.5%. The correct answer is 48%, making Corey our winner.
That's higher than I thought.
You deserved it, Corey.
48% said they always utilize the meat by eating it or giving it away. Well done, Corey. I felt bad about the Heartland question, but here you are anyway. Ball don't lie. That's what they say, right, Clay? Ball don't lie?
I've never heard that before. But
you say that to Shep sometime, and then he'll just be like, yeah, Dad, ball don't lie. That's right. Well done, Corey and Seth. Moving on. These were two of our finalists last year as well, and here we are again, the same two fellas going to the championship. How does it feel?
Feels good.
Yeah, I feel better, but I'm still pretty upset.
Okay. Didn't even need the tiebreaker in Corey's opinion. Now, what would normally happen is Clay gets to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. But because this is part of the tournament, we're doing something a little different. Here's what's going to happen. We are banking each donation until the end of the tournament. So instead of four $500 donations, the trivia champion is going to make one $2,000 donation. It'll be the biggest donation in Meat Eater trivia history.
Very cool. Mm.
Clay, you could maybe lobby for Corey and Seth in case they make it to the championship and win.
Yeah.
Where you know, that $2,000 donation.
I've been thinking about how $500 a week is a pretty generous donation.
We
used to be 100.
Mm-hmm. We started off with 100. Yeah. Meat Eater was willing to up it. I think we're over $30,000 now that we've given to conservation organizations from the show.
Yeah, that's big.
Very exciting. Corey and Seth, moving on.
Nice job, guys.
Next week.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, next Max. Week starts the championship. It will sure be a two episode championship. It's going to be 20 questions to determine our winner instead of just 10. Very excited.
Wow.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins, and make sure you spay and neuter your pets.
R.I.P.
That's what Bob Barker always said.
Unless you want to breed them.
Clay, you were the one who suggested it.
A heck of a coon dog.
Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like them. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.